Hey guys, and welcome to the final ASAP of the semester. We are here to recap Brian's message from Thursday, May the 6th. We had an amazing final synergy with some baptisms and some goodbyes to staff. And so I am here with Rachel and Jade to recap it all.
Hey y'all.
What's good?
And just quick shout out to all our ASAP listeners this semester. Hopefully we'll be back next semester doing it as well. If you're listening to this the weekend before finals, you are just a real one, because I know that things are crazy out here right now. But yeah, let's dive right in. So Brian gave us just kind of an overarching word. We're kind of, you know, not within any type of series here, but talking just a little bit about worship and what it means to live a life of worship. So Rachel, what stuck out to you from what Brian had to say?
Well, first of all, I will just say I'm sitting here emotional, because last night was just tough. We're saying goodbye to so many friends, but also so many seniors. Yeah. And I just am close to a lot of seniors. My whole core group is seniors. And so what he was talking about was really just like hitting my heart, and just like having this huge desire for all those men and women I've been close to and watched them grow for the past 4 years. And also just like an excitement to see them go out and like worship the Lord with their lives and their work. And so that was just like revving up in my heart, shed a couple tears. It's fine. Sure. I'm okay. I'll get over it. But in accordance to the message specifically, I really liked that Brian was talking about the four loves, that C.S. Lewis book. And he specifically talked about Eros, which is like that romantic love, is how C.S. Lewis described it, and how we allow that to like take the place of the Lord. And I was even just sitting there reflecting, you know, even just like as a married person, I don't know if you were thinking about this, Landon, of like the ways by which I could put Jane, the ways by which I can put maybe even Ethan in the place of the Lord.
Yeah.
Whenever there's something on my heart or my mind, I can seek him instead of the Lord. But also just all the times in my life previous to marriage, and that I've loved things more than God in my life. Yeah. And that I've replaced the Lord with something. And given it my devotion, it my time, it my emotional turmoil or whatever. And so I was reflecting on the fact that that would always, most frequently at least, occur during the summers during my college career. Mm. And so that's why I love that he talked about it, because our summers are when we are so like out of tune sometimes with the Lord, because we're not in this CSF community that we're so just used to. We're used to having people around us who are keeping us accountable, who are continually pointing us to the Lord. And so it would be during those summers that I would like turn my focus away or to something else. And so I really liked that Brian was talking about that and brought it up.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I think that, I don't know, when we have like these like seasons of transition in our lives where we have like, you know, weekly rhythms, and then, you know, maybe the summer has a little bit more space. It's like, well, how are you going to fill that space? Mm-hmm. You know, what are you going to divert your attention to? And I thought that it was good that you highlighted that's, you know, those things that we give our time and our energy to this summer are really the things that we're going to be worshiping. And so it matters what we worship. Jade, what kind of stood out to you?
Yeah, I would say going off of what Rachel said, yeah, just there's things in life that when we don't have like a rhythm or a schedule, we just put these things in our place with God, and they won't satisfy and fulfill. And there's just a lot of times in life when you think that they will. You go into a summer job or a camp. I'll explain my personal experience. I went to camp one summer. Yeah. And I was like, oh, this is going to be the ultimate thing, right? Like this, like I'm in a Christian community and I'm serving the Lord and I'm just doing all these Christian things. And at the end of the summer, I felt more empty than before, because I was finding my identity and all these things. Like I am a river guide. I'm heading up the snack shack. I'm queen of the snack shack, all these things. And at the end of the summer, I was like, I was finding my identity and all these titles, and it didn't satisfy. So kind of what Rachel was saying, yeah, like the Lord just has to be the center of it all, or just feel more depleted. So that's kind of what I got.
Yeah, man, I think that's so interesting how you talk about even like placing like working on a summer camp staff as like the thing, because that's clearly a good thing. Mm-hmm. But we can get so lost in like even like, identifying ourselves with like the ministry itself or like the role, to where we miss like the true purpose, which is life with Jesus. And so that even makes me think about like, as we transition, obviously, you know, CSF will still be doing things this summer for students that are hanging around. But I think that we can even place like CSF on that highest pedestal above just like life with Jesus. And so if our, you know, if our walk with Jesus is only, you know, just in the spring semester and the fall semester, and then the summer, it's kind of like whatever. Then maybe CSF is that thing that's like, you know, at the top of the shelf, like Brian was talking about for you, when really it needs to be life with Jesus, regardless of whether that's at CSF or that's, you know, out on your own or in other communities. And I think that if we think about that and kind of properly order, understand that CSF is just such a great place and great community and, is a means through which we can know Christ better, but that ultimately life with Jesus is the ultimate, that even sets up like our seniors well, like you're talking about, Rachel, to transition out.
Yeah, what you guys are both saying is just so much the temptation that I fell into as a college student. And I wish I had the people in my life and the foresight to even plan for my summer well and how I'm going to seek the Lord and make him the center of my life instead of finding the next great thing at CSF I can do to, like, I don't know, build up my CSF resume. Is that a thing? Like, I was interning, I was leading Bible studies, like I was doing whatever I could to be a CSF member, but not like Christ, well, the daughter of the living God, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think even we can like fill up the spaces with our lives with just more and more good things and more like serving and all this. But sometimes I think even that can be a means through which we just push out space where we just sit before Jesus. Or even take like time in solitude or that kind of thing. So we can even like just fill our plate with so many good things. But it can even still fill up empty if, you know, Jesus isn't like that foundation.
So. Yeah. It kind of reminds me, I mean, I feel like I have so many stories from my life where the Lord has just taught me so much. It was camp and then Colorado, but my sophomore year, the Lord removed me from this community for a semester and I was a wide-eyed sophomore. I was finally on leadership and, just was making friends, starting to know staff, everything was going good. And then spring semester, he plucked me out of the community and sent me across the country to Steamboat. And then that was the first time I had to learn how to just do life with him on my own, not rely on like just my community to fill me up. I mean, that was a great aid and it was great to FaceTime and to check in, but I couldn't rely on them day in and day out to like be my God. So even as a sophomore, I was learning that and still learning it sometimes, but I was happy early on. He was like, you just got to learn how to sit with me and not just feed off of this community day in and day out to fill you up. So
Yeah,
I think that's an important distinction is like none of these things are bad. Like getting involved in like a CSF group over the summer or like going to work in a summer camp staff or whatever you're doing this summer is in all likelihood, like not in itself a bad thing. And so I think that Brian did a really good job of talking about how like, you know, worship of Jesus can be like seeing a good thing and like seeing that as a reflection of his goodness. And so seeing like those things is like a lens through which, you know, we worship Jesus, but it's like when those things become the thing, that's when we can get into some trouble. So even as we, I don't know, like obviously students are walking into finals this coming week. It'll probably be pretty crazy, but maybe after the tide kind of slows down, maybe it's, you know, Thursday or Friday, maybe we're, you know, just kind of crashing or, transitioning into wherever we're at for the summer. What do we feel like the practical steps are, that we could take to really set up ourselves well for the summer, and really putting Jesus at the center?
Oh, I can talk about something that I'm really passionate about. And you two might be annoyed of me talking about it already, but all of you out there probably heard me talk about a rule of life. And this, a rule of life is an ancient tradition in the Christian faith. And so this is not something new and, I don't know, newly developed. It's been here for a long time. And it's how Christians have ordered their lives to seek the Lord and make him the center, to create space in their lives for the Lord. And so basically, you just make a rule for your life or like a plan also of how you're going to live your life for the next 6 months, a year, and maybe for college students, it's just for the summer. What are you going to commit to? So what spiritual rhythms are you going to add to your life you're going to commit to and seek this summer so that you can continue to grow in relationship with the Lord, to continue to look like him? And so, like, for me, it's like daily I'm going to sit in silence and I'm going to sit in scripture. And I'm going to pray. And then at 3 o'clock every day, I'm going to pray again, which is called a daily office. And then at night, there's another rhythm I have. And then weekly rhythms. So every Sunday, we Sabbath. You know, every month, I go out on a extended solo. You know, just like planning those things out for your summer and committing to it so that you even have a plan going in of how you're going to seek the Lord this summer.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. And I think that what I like to encourage people with like the rule of life thing is like, don't like go crazy and
yes.
think you have to like add all these new things in. Like sometimes even a rule of life can look like subtracting and taking things, you know, just like bad habits or things that, you know, you spend too much time on. Maybe it's social media, maybe it's Netflix, whatever. Just to even create more space. But the more we try to do like, oh, I'm going to do all these things, then maybe we end up doing like none of them.
Yeah. The three key things about a rule of life is for it to be flexible. So like you don't want to be legalistic about doing it. You have to give yourself grace within it because every once in a while you're not going to get your daily rhythm and you cannot get hard on yourself about it. You just commit, okay, tomorrow I'm going to do it. It needs to be personal. So stuff that like you really enjoy spending time with the Lord, but also things that you want to challenge yourself with a little bit. And then the third one is attainable. So you don't want to do all these like 12 things every day and then burn yourself out. You want it to be something that you can attain and that you can continue to utilize day by day, week by week, month by month.
Yeah. I'll tell you what we'll do. How about this? We'll I'll get the link from you, Rachel, and we'll just throw it in the little podcast notes so
That's
that
good.
Students who want to take a little more time with this, we'll give you some resources to even like map out what like a rule of life could look like for you this summer.
Absolutely.
And what those like daily, weekly, monthly rhythms could look like.
Mm-hmm.
Jay, do you have any thoughts just like practically for students as they step into the summer?
Yeah. As Rachel was talking, I was kind of thinking of practical ways that people could do this. And sometimes you get hard on yourself and you're like, what if I spend too much time just praying and I'm not out serving or I'm fasting too much, but whatever it may be. But always just, again, just look to Jesus' life and how he did things. And I think about how he would take time and he would just really balance things out. He'd go up in the mountains and hide away with the Father. Then he would serve and do miracles and spend time with his disciples and then be with the kids and all these things. You just see a balance of how he just did his ministry and how he lived his life. And he always, he was God, but also man. Like Jesus had to go and get just refilled back up by the Father. So just looking at his life and how he just balance everything out to get it's full again.
Yeah. The other thing I think I would say is just like give yourself grace. Like don't, you know, if the summer gets off to a bad start, if like May isn't the best month, like don't let that stand in the way of like what Jesus has for you in June, July, and August. I think that especially as you talk about like rule of life stuff, you know, if you take the time to like map that out and say like, here are the rhythms I want to commit to. And like you get into those and like, you know, it doesn't go well. Or, like you find yourself struggling to fight for that time. Like give yourself grace. You can even like rework it. And like, I even think for our students who were in groups this semester, we talked a lot about like the law and like freedom from the law and freedom to like life in Christ through the Spirit. And so I think that, you know, this isn't like a law of life. This is a rule of life. And so within that is some grace. It's not like this is, you know, we're trying to guilt you and shame you into doing these things. It's like, no, like what are the things that are life giving and that allow me to create space for the Father to work in my life?
I have a confession. I've failed my rule of life multiple times throughout my life. So it's okay. Like there's so much grace surrounding it and they are meant to be reworked.
Yeah.
You're always supposed to go back to it and say, okay, what worked? What didn't work?
Yep. There's always the grace of a new day, a new week, a new month, whatever that looks like for you. I think for me, another practical thing I would say, I liked the imagery that Brian used of like what's on the top shelf. And so I was just thinking like of like a pantry and he's talking about how if we like put the wrong thing on the top shelf, then we may run into trouble, how like Jesus needs to be like, you know, at the top, on the top of the shelf. And so I even thought about like, you know, before you go to the grocery store, you probably, you know, take inventory of what's in the pantry. You know, do I have enough eggs? Do I have enough bread? All that stuff. Maybe that's just me. I love my eggs in the morning. but I think that that's like a good even first step is just like taking inventory. Maybe you've like never heard the idea before that like, you know, it's not like, will you worship, but what will you worship? And so I think even taking time with that of like taking inventory of like, what are the things that I'm giving, you know, my time and my energy to? Because I think if we don't even identify those things, then I don't know, how are we ever gonna work on them and figure out those good rhythms? So take inventory of your shelf, see what's on the top, see what's in the middle, see what's at the bottom, and just kind of rework things. So that it's more life-giving, because it works the best when Jesus is on top. But then also we use another imagery where like Jesus was like the foundation of a building. I'm not sure which one I like better. You know, I like him as like the top of the shelf. I get that. But also like, you know, the bottom of the building is holding everything
maybe
up.
Maybe both.
Yeah.
And everything else in life is in the middle.
Ooh.
Of all things Christ.
But then also like
Jesus is the center.
Oh no.
So he's everywhere all together.
Yeah.
We'll leave that up to you to wrestle with. Well, cool. Do either of you have any just kind of last thoughts before we wrap things up for the semester?
Yeah, I would say back to what you were saying, Landon, about giving yourself grace. It was after possibly the worst summer of my entire life when I got back and we were at leadership retreat, and Brian said, like, if you screwed up this summer, well, God's not done with you, not by a long shot. And so I just think about that all the time. I'm like, he's not done with you, not by a long shot. And a lot of times you can look at God and you're like, oh, is he mad at me? Is he this harsh figure that is just wanting to punish me? But in Matthew, like, he explains himself as, like, his own, he describes himself as gentle and lowly. So, yeah, that's kind of what I have for anyone out here listening, that if your summer does not go as planned, just give yourself grace. Because Jesus is gentle and lowly, and he doesn't want to hurt you. He's not mad at you, but he rejoices when you come and repent and ask for forgiveness.
That is a beautiful note to end on.
I love it. Yeah, couldn't think of a better way to send you all off. Jesus loves you. Jesus gives you grace as you move into the summer, as you walk into the valley of the shadow of finals week. I think that's Brian's catchphrase. But yeah, best of luck with finals. We can't wait for everything that the summer has in store. And hopefully we'll be back recapping some synergies in the fall. So have a great summer, and we will see you next time. Grace, peace.
See ya.